والصلاوات على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. My very dear brothers and sisters in Islam and Iman, Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa azamalla ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabana bil Husayn wa awlad al Husayn wa ashab al Husayn. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Alhamdulillah for this great opportunity of spiritual uplifting that the Almighty God, Alhamdulillah, blessed us with, and to attend the majlis that is held in memory of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Just briefly, I tell you the format that we'll be following in the coming nights, inshallah, all the way to the Ashura and start the speech. Inshallah, every night, my talk consists of three parts. The first, very briefly, few minutes, I share with you one jurisprudential issue, one masala shar'iyya, and then will be the main body of the speech, and inshallah we'll finish with Majlis Aza inshallah. As for tonight, there is a misconception. I don't know why they really, some people, they want to speak against the obvious, that why do we need to follow a marja, especially for the youngsters who are just at the age of selecting a marja. I tell you that the issue of choosing a marja, we are talking about a person who is an expert in Islamic jurisprudence. The reason that every one of us, unless you are a mujtahid, meaning that unless you are an expert, otherwise you need to have an expert to refer to. It's a matter of common sense. Even if there is no ayah, no hadith, it's just a matter of very obvious common sense. That's how you live your life in every aspect. You get sick, you don't come to me, you go to a doctor. Your car breaks, you don't go to a doctor, you go to a mechanic, isn't it? That's how we live our life. Do you ever feel bad, or any Ayatollah feels bad if his car is broken, to go to a mechanic? Or a specialist, a scientist, does he feel bad to go to a mechanic if his car breaks? No, it's a matter of, this is the life. Not one person knows everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given different talents, different expertise to different people. And because I'm not an expert in the Islamic jurisprudence, it's a common sense that for my Islamic jurisprudence issues, I go to an expert. The one who has spent 50, 60 years of his life, dedicated his life on that particular area, has become an expert. His entire life is dedicated to publish one book called Risala Amaliyya, and subhanAllah, see how delicate the issue is, that how often he says, according to obligatory precaution, you have to do this. When he's a marja says obligatory precaution, it shows that he says that look, after 50 years of studying, after a thorough investigation on all the ayat, riwayat, cross-examining all the evidence, still I'm not 100% sure about this rule. However, because I don't want to take the responsibility, take the precaution on this issue. And I wonder how some people, out of the blue, really out of ignorance, without having any knowledge about anything, I don't think Islam says that you have to take it easy. A scholar has spent all his life and still he doesn't dare saying this is the Islamic, he takes precaution. So the issue for tonight is then the obligation of choosing and following a marja in the matter of jurisprudence, simply because I'm not a mujtahid, I'm not a specialist, and I need to go to a specialist. Anyone argues with you that why are you just mimicking, why are you just following someone blindly? He says, because that's how I live my life. When my car breaks, I just take it to a mechanic, go to a doctor, and so forth. And how to choose a marja, to finish this discussion quickly, is that anyone who, because it's the matter of expertise, the one who is more learned, and just also. Mechanic doesn't have to be Muslim, let alone just. But the person who is representing Islam, of course, he has to be a God-fearing person, so that he does not give any fatwa, does not issue any verdict for his whim and desire. And that's why we make sure that they are pious, and alhamdulillah, they are all pious and God-fearing, and also expert in that area of jurisprudence. How am I supposed to know that person? Either you get to know the person personally yourself, however it's possible for you, or you ask your local scholars, you call Sheikh, you get some opinion, and you can collect this information and come up with an idea that yes, alhamdulillah, I'm convinced that Ayatollah Uzma Fulan, for example, is the most learned and the most pious, and then you choose to follow him. When we say the most learned, doesn't mean that it has to be one. It is possible that five scholars, all of them are the most learned, meaning that all of them are definitely certified expert in jurisprudence. So a'lam that you are talking about is not talking about one single person. A'lam means that compared with ordinary scholars, his knowledge is more than others, or their knowledge is more than others when it comes to jurisprudence. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه وأنه إليه تحشرون صدق الله العلي العظيم. Do you have the eye on the screen? Sisters, they used to have a TV here. What happened? Do you have a TV? So the ayah is on the screen. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, it's available for you in three languages. That's what we are going to do every night. Majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the majalis of ilm. And the majalis of ilm are the places that the angels, they just unfold their wings. We are all sitting on the wings of the mercy of the angels, inshallah, attending the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. What we will be doing every night, I share with you one ayah, which is the main theme of my talk every night. At least when you go back home tonight, I want to make sure that you have learned one ayah of the Quran, one revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with all the discussions that is possible to be discussed around the ayah. The ayah is in chapter 8 of the Quran, Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 24. In that ayah, the Almighty God invites us, calls to a general invitation, and it's particularly for the believers, for the reason that I tell you. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe. This address is very often repeated in the Quran, and it's a blessing. Never you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran is addressing the disbelievers, is addressing the hypocrites. Even the people of the book, although they are the people of the book, like the Jews and the Christians, but because they are deviated from the right path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not talk to them directly, sends a message. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ, my messenger, passes a message to the Prophet, tell them so and so. But amazingly, when it comes to the believers, inshallah like us, In particular, Quran directly talks to you. In other words, God talked to you directly in so much as he talks to his messenger directly. Therefore, Quran doesn't say, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Directly says, say, doesn't say, say. Directly say, oh, you who believe. God directly talks to you. That's an honor. I hope you get this message. There is an expectation in this ayah and in many ayat. That means that although, inshallah, by the grace of God, I am a believer, but there is always room to improve. No matter who you are, no matter how much you know about your religion, no matter how much you practice your religion, there is always a room to improve. So, although you are a believer, alhamdulillah, but still remember that God says that, I don't want you to stay there. I don't want you to be the same person as was last Muharram. Shaykh, I want you to be a better person this Muharram. Every single one of us, inshallah, we want by the time that Ashura hits and these 10 nights finishes, we want to make sure that, inshallah, by the grace of God, we have learned more about our religion and we have become better person and closer to God. And guess what? That's the whole story of life. The reason that we've come to this world are put through all the thick and thin and difficulties of life so that we struggle the proximity to God, closer, get closer to God. Imam Hussein's expectation from us also is nothing other than this. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu istajibu lillah. God says, oh you who believe, at least I can talk to you. Disbelievers, they don't know about Islam. They don't care about Islam. They don't come to hear my word. But you guys, you believe in me. You've come. So listen to me carefully. Istajibu means ajibu, means respond to my call. Some translations, they say obey. Obey Allah is the result of responding. Otherwise, literally, istajibu lillah means when God is calling you, you say yes. Simple example, like your father is calling you, Ahmad, say na'am, yes. Fatima, yes, mom. Answer me. Let me know that you hear me. Istajibu means respond. But this is not just yes, verbally. God is not after our lip service. Respond practically, of course. When God is telling you something, is calling you for something, God wants us to put it into practice. Istajibu lillah wa lirrasul. Respond to the call of God and the call of the messenger. Deliberately here, the Almighty God puts God and the messenger together to pass a message. For the recognition of my messenger, when the messenger is inviting you onto something, it's my invitation, says the Lord. And therefore, I say, استجيبوا لله وللرسول, meaning that they are not separate. Because the Prophet, ما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. Whatever he says, he's talking, he's the representative of God, he's the messenger of God. So respond to his call. Tonight, just to give you a close to home example, tonight when we finish Maghrib prayer, and that's how, inshallah, I want to take it this year. I've been with you, alhamdulillah, for several years. This year, we want to make it more practical. I want to make it more, giving you assignments. Please let this be at least a simple assignment that from tonight until tomorrow night, you've got 24 hours to memorize one ayah from the Quran. The message of Imam Hussein tonight, this ayah, Suratul Anfal, ayah 24. Tonight when we finish Maghrib prayer, I requested brothers that if it's possible to do the nafile. Because we want, inshallah, to practice our religion. We just don't want to learn about our religion. The problem is that sometimes too much information is actually problematic. Now, I'm not here just to learn about my religion. I'm here to learn to practice my religion. And let's do it right from now. One of the signs of a believer's of the believers, Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu, Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam says that is that they pray 17 rak'at every day as an obligation and twice of that, 37 together, 51, as nawafil. Who is there tonight to join the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and says that in this Muharram, I want to practice it, that not only I do my wajibat, I want to do the nawafil as well. Experience it. Enjoy the spirituality of it. You finish your Maghrib prayer, two rak'at as the nafil for Maghrib together becomes four rak'at. And literally it takes 3-4 minutes. If you do it the way that I tell you, that's the bare minimum. Surah Al-Hamd, and that's it. Don't worry about Qul Huwa Allah Ahad. Ruku, sujood, you stand up again, Surah Al-Hamd, ruku, sujood, tashahud, and the last salam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. No qunud, no second surah. It doesn't take really more than 2 minutes each. Is it difficult? Isha prayer, 2 rakat, even seated, God says. Seated. Takes 1 minute. And then what happens is that the riwayat says that if you were oblivious or forgetful, or you were laksahi and you forgot some parts of your prayer, you are absent-minded. It happens to all of us, human nature. When you do the nafila of Salat al-Maghrib, it rectifies the absent-minded part of your prayer. That means your Salat al-Maghrib, the 3 rakat will be written for you 3 rakat. Otherwise, my Maghrib prayer might be written for me just Allahu Akbar, then Sheikh went to his own world of imagination. How many rakat Imam Ali alayhi salam was praying? Some say, Ya Ali, how many rakat? How much do you pray? He said, only if I knew that 2 rakat is accepted. That is Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. And from beginning to the end of your salat, your mind is with you. That's a tough experience. The Prophet says that this is one of the invitations, practically. The Prophet says, do your nawafil, and the nawafil compensates the parts that you are absent-minded. Not that you deliberately say, okay, now that I do the nawafil, let's don't worry about it. No. You focus, you endeavor to have your mind with you, but nawafil fix that one as well. Because I tell you this so that from today, I think the daylight saving finished, and you started the real timing, if you like to call it. Make sure that all of us, anyone attending the Majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, make sure that you know what time is the morning prayer tomorrow. I don't know either myself. I'm just new here the first day. I have to check the calendar. Inshallah, we'll check it. And only 15 minutes. I beg you, for the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the theme, by the way, of my talks throughout the nights is what you see on the right side of the screen. Labbayka Ya Hussein, do you like to say it? Labbayka Ya Hussein. This is the call of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Labbayk means that na'am, at your service. Somebody calls you and say that yes, at your service. Tonight we want to say Labbayka Ya Hussein. Imam Hussein alayhi salam did not miss his nafilatul layl. Sayyidah Zainab did not miss her nafilatul layl. Because I'm attending the majalis of Husseini only for 10 nights and days, I want to try to live the lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam as much as possible for me. So that when I read Ziyarat Aisha and say, Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahya Muhammadin wa al Muhammad. Oh Allah, make me live the lifestyle of Muhammad and the progeny of Muhammad. I show that I mean it. Therefore, 15 minutes only. Let's start and let's make it practical. And alhamdulillah, morning prayer is not that early now. 15 minutes, check the morning prayer time. 15 minutes before that, you get up for the love of Hussein. Love of Hussein is love of God. For the love of Hussein, this Muharram, because you know your dress code resembles your love, your care for Ahlul Bayt. That's why you came here tonight, and inshallah you'll be coming. So 15 minutes before morning prayer, you commit yourself that in these nights of Muharram, I want to experience Salat al-Layl. Simple, doesn't take more than 15 minutes. And then pray on time, your daily prayers, you pray on time. Inshallah, about the rest of the prayers, as we go further, I'll explain. But because night prayer is ahead of us coming morning, I wanted to touch on that. Estajibu lillahi walirrasool idha da'akum, when they invite you. Quran says, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. God says, of course, quoting them, how blessed we are that we get to know about the tricks of our enemy. God reveals the tricks of our enemies to us, Shaitan. لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ, when the matter was over. When the matter is going to be over? When you and I die. The trial will be over. No longer we have opportunity. We go and complain to Shaitan, La'natul alayk, look at what you did to me. Shaitan said, hey, hang on a second. Let's have a sound argument. God invited you, promised you, gave you a true promises. I also promised you and I gave you false promises. And all what I did, Shaitan says, وَمَا لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانَ. I had no authority. I never forced you to go to those places. Tonight, did anyone force you to come here? Those who go to the nightclubs, anyone force them to go there? There is no force. It's man's free. It's a free country, as we say. You had the option. You did the right choice. Some, they did the wrong choice. The girl who takes off her hijab, nobody is forcing her to take it or to keep it. Especially in this country, it's a free country. It's your choice. The virtue is that when you have the option, and God says, I have given you the option, you're not like angels, you're not like animals, you're not my other creatures. I have given you the free choice. Therefore, Shaitan says, I had no authority, I never force you to do anything. You could choose this or that. You get a call, a friend invites you to, to a birthday party that you know is a type of a birthday party that you're not supposed to go. No, that's my cousin. How can I not go to my cousin's birthday? Yes, you can. There are people, they don't. So Shaitan said, I had no authority. I never forced you. I just called you. You answered me. Here this ayah, Quran says, استجيبوا لله وللرسول. Respond to the call of God and the messenger. Don't respond to the call of Shaitan. If you respond to the call of Shaitan, فلا تلوموني, says the Shaitan. Don't blame me, walumu anfusakum, blame yourselves that you followed me. All right. Quran also says, فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ فَعْلَمْ. There is a call. Inshallah, these nights we'll be talking about these calls. Every night, different calls from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Those who don't respond, Quran says, rest assured, know that فَعْلَمْ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَمَنْ أَضَلْ مِمَّنْ يَتَّبِعُ هَوَاءَ. If they don't respond positively to the call of Imam Hussein, to the call of the Prophet, to the call of Allah, all the same. Then rest assured, the only reason they don't respond is because of their nafs, their whim and desire. There was a sour relation between two brothers. Hypothetically, definitely I'm talking about, well, obviously hypothetically. Let's say, I'm sorry Brother Murtadha to use your name. Let's say I'm not in good terms with Murtadha. Huh? And because of that, now there's a majlis for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. No, I'm not coming. Brother, why don't you come? Khalas, no, I'm not coming. How come you came last year? Because last year I was friendly with Murtadha. This year I'm not in good terms, so you didn't come last year for Imam Hussein. Do you see how delicate the issue becomes? That's how you can test it. If my coming and not coming is based on my relation with individuals, or just because my cousin or my friend goes, I go. My friend likes to go to that center, I go to that center. My friend goes to this center, I go. So are you going because of your friend or you are going because of God? However you go is fine. But remember, God says, I want you to elevate yourself. I want you to purify your intention. I want you to come here only for me and for my sake. And you can test it if it's for God's sake or not. In fact, when your desire says, somebody came to Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam and says that, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, how are we supposed to fight our nafs? This nafs, yani, la'natullah ala, is really disturbing me, inviting me internally, whispering to me, keeps whispering. Imam Kadhim says, very easy, consult it. Shawaruhunna. Ask your nafs, your desire, your evil. What do you think I should do? Should I look at that girl? Oh yeah, go for it. Thank you. Lower your gaze. La'natullah. Like, I know you don't give the right advice. Do you think I should get up for prayer or not? No, man. Sleep. Cold. Thank you. Get up. Ask her. Ask your nafs. Because nafs in Arabic is mu'annath. They call it figurative mu'annath. شاوروهن وخالفوهن. Some they say that, Islam says that don't consult women. He's talking about the nafs, habibi. شاوروهن وخالفوهن. Keep asking your nafs, what do you think I should do? Do the opposite. فَإِنَّ الرُّشْدَ فِي خِلَافِهَا. Guidance is when you go against it. So you've got internally a teacher, an instructor with you. استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. For what is going to revive you. God doesn't say in which area. ما here in Arabic we say نكره. Meaning that you answer the call of Imam Hussein. You answer the call of God and the Prophet. You will be revived in all aspects of your life. You will notice a big change in all aspects of your lifestyle. Not only for the best of your dunya, especially for the best of your akhirah, because Quran says that the actual life is the life of akhirah. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ Hayawan, the real life, is in the hereafter. You follow my instructions, says the Almighty God, you will have that hayawan, and you have that real life, eternal life. استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. Inshallah, in all the coming nights, I'll be talking about how we can revive ourselves. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was a reformer to revive the community, as he said it himself in his final will. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in one ziyarah that he's teaching us to visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you know that all the anbiya were, each one of them is da'illah, da'iyallah. They were calling to Allah. Prophet Ibrahim in the rawayat says, and Quran confirms, فَجَعَلْ عَفَدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهُوِ إِلَيْهِمْ, that Prophet Ibrahim was da'iyallah, was calling to God. That invitation that in this ayah Quran says. The Prophet of Islam was da'iyallah. In the rawayat, it says, Imam Zaman عَجَلَ فَرَجُوا شَرِيبًا, when he comes, he's also da'iyallah. He's calling to God, they're never calling to themselves. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was da'iyallah. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, إِذَا أَتَيْتَ الْقَبْرِ, when you had the blessing and the honor of visiting the holy shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Between brackets, quickly I need to make a detour, go to footnote, that although this hadith and these ahadith are talking about visiting the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, brothers, sisters, rest assured, and I quote from a very eminent scholar, Ayatollah al-Uzma Bahjad, rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say that wherever you see these banners, black even fabrics, for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and a majlis is held for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, whether in Karbala, whether in Copenhagen, whether in even Las Vegas, or wherever in the world, doesn't matter where in the world, there is a majlis for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Ayatollah Bahjad used to say that that is a branch of the haram of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and therefore it's holy. This place has become holy. This office area, this hall, on the day of judgment will be proud of itself. I promise you, I'll prove it from the Quran and the Rawayat and scientifically, inshallah, in the coming nights, that this place is purified with the programs that you hold here. Ayatollah Mar'ashi rahmatullah alayhi, you may not remember him. He was one of the very eminent maraji, contemporary to Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, Sayyid al-Khoi rahmatullah alayhi. One of my teachers, who used to be the student of Ayatollah Mar'ashi, he narrated. He said that Ayatollah Mar'ashi had a problem. I think it was, I'm not sure, I don't want to quote line wrong, but from my memory, if I'm not mistaken, something with his knee that needed an operation. All right. In his house, I remember, attached to his house, there was a Husayniyah that they used to have majlis for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The following day, they were supposed to take him to Tehran for the operation. The night before, he said, I noticed that, said Mar'ashi, he went to the Husayniyah in the darkness of the night, all the lights off. Marja' taqlid. All right. He goes to that Husayniyah, and he took a while. I got worried because he was ill. I was concerned about him. I just crept to the Husayniyah to see if he's all right, if he's doing the ibadah, or God forbid something happened to him, fainted or whatever. He said, I went there and I noticed that Ayatollah Mar'ashi is rubbing his knee to the minbar, to the minbar Husayni. They had, in the Husayni, they had the minbar. You know what is the pulpit, the minbar? He's just rubbing it on the minbar. Subhanallah. I went to him and said, Sayyidina, what are you doing? He said, don't tell anyone. I'm getting the shifa from this. Subhan. These woods, this like piece of timber or anything, no longer is a piece of timber that belongs not to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. It becomes holy. It's not only the barih of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that gives, it's not the barih that gives, the shifa is from Imam Hussein, from God. It's not those pieces of things, metal in the haram, huh? Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because now this belongs to, this is called Minbar al-Husseini, Allahu Akbar. Because it becomes Minbar al-Husseini, it can give the power of shifa. Imam Hussein can, through that you touch it and yani, you get what you want. What I was trying to was this, that so when the Imam says Ida Atayta al-Qabr, you can say Ida Atayta Majlis al-Hussein. You attend the Majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, make a niyyah. Make an intention, make a vow between you and God. Nobody knows, because nobody can. Ayah says here, إِنَّ لَا يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. God only knows what is going on in your heart. Make an intention and you will get it. And say, then the Imam says that 7 times you say, La ilaha illallah, 7 times Alhamdulillah, 7 times Subhanallah. And then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, when you attend Majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, taqulu sab'an labbayka ya Hussein, labbayka ya Hussein, labbayka ya Hussein. You repeat with me, labbayka ya Hussein, labbayka ya Hussein, labbayka ya Hussein, labbayka ya Hussein. And you relate to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then it follows. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, you say, labbayka ya Hussein, in lam yujibka badani, ya Abu Abdullah. If I was not alive in the year 61 after the migration of the prayer of the Prophet physically, if I wasn't in Karbala to be able to sacrifice my life for you, and lam yujibka badani faqad ajabaka qalbi, I came here tonight and by your grace I will be coming in the coming nights physically and with my heart as well. I bring my family, I bring my dears, my children, my friends, whoever I care about. We all come, Ya Hussein, to your majlis. بقلبي. To do what? على تسليم لخلف النبي المرسل. We want to come here and say at your service, لبيك يا حسين, what do you want from me? Ya Hussein, you want me to wear the hijab, sisters say. I do, because I love you. Because I need you. You want me to pray my Salat al-Layl? You'll be happier with me if I do it? I do. Because I love you. Because in my Ziyarat Ashura, I say, Allahumma jal mahya ya mahya Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. I want to live the lifestyle of Muhammad and ala Muhammad. And that's how the lifestyle was. Tonight, usually, we lead the majlis for among the very first martyrs of Karbala. Subhanallah, who flipped in a second, who was so scared of going to death. You know, subhanallah, inshallah, you are never put in that trial, but unfortunately it happens, especially for the youth. Be very careful that sometimes you see you're between dunya, between the yani hell and heaven, especially when the lust erupts, when the shahwa erupts. Opportunity for sinning, opportunity, astaghfirullah, for adultery is there. And if in that very moment, that man or that woman feels feared, scared, that fear is bravery. Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi I'm talking about. On the day of Ashura, when he saw that the war is getting really real and they are waging a war really against Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he was shivering. He was the commander of the army. They looked at him and said, Ya Hur, what happening? Is it you? You are the hero of Kufa and now you're scared? He said, yes, wallah, I'm scared because I see myself between hell and heaven. La wallah, I'm not going to choose hell over heaven. I would never imagine this. He revived internally. Hur and Imam Hussein and all the martyrs of Karbala were after Islah. Didn't Imam Hussein said in his final will, Balli talib al-islah fi ummat jadi, islah starts from within. Reformation starts from internally, from inside. Nobody knows how bad Sheikh Mansour is. Nobody knows what Sheikh Mansour has done in his life. But God knows, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Isn't it enough? Ya Allah, now that you have been sattar and concealing my sins here in this majlis, I want to stand behind Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, who repented. I want to ride from the first majlis. Tonight I want to repent, Ya Rab. Please don't disgrace me. Don't let my family and friends know about the secrets that you know about me. Forgive me once and for all, Ya Rab. That's how Hur did it. And he said, now Allah, I'm not going to choose hell over the heaven. And rode his horse towards Abu Abdullah al-Hussein's camp, right in front of Imam Hussein, putting his hand. The one who used to be a few minutes ago, the army of Yazid. Hur either way would be most likely killed in Karbala. But either he would be killed and until the day of judgment suffered as the one of the army of Yazid. And look at now what happened. Who could imagine that this man who is riding his horse towards Kufa will be now among the martyrs of Karbala. Brothers and sisters, that's what the repentance does. That's what the Tawbah does. Stands in front of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his head down, so embarrassed. Yabna Rasulallah, halli min tawbah. I'm not saying this only for Hur, I want to say it for myself as well. Ya Hussein, I'm here also, halli min tawbah. Is there any way that you forgive? Is there any way that you ask God to forgive me? All what matters to Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, all what God wants from all of us, and I'm including myself as the first brothers and sisters, is that we have come to the majlis of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. The majlis that is so well designed and ready for our repentance. As the Quran says, وَلُوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ذَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ. They came, Ya Rab, I came. فَاسْتَغْفَرُ اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ. Rasul at the time of the Prophet is Imam, at the time of Imam Hussein is Imam Hussein. Therefore, Hur says, يَا بْنَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Is it possible you ask God's forgiveness for me? You repeat for yourself, يَا بْنَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. يَا حُسَيْن. Is it possible tonight you ask God's forgiveness for me? Imam Hussein alayhi salam immediately says, yes, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. May God forgive all your sins. Come down, be my guest of honor. Would it be possible that Imam Hussein said this to us as well? Of course. He said, no, Ya Ibn Rasulallah, I'm the first who scared your family, the children of the Prophet. Let me be the first to go and fight them. Long story short, soon Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi flew to paradise. Imam Hussein alayhi salam only hugged a few of his companions, among which was Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. What an honor, what a blessing. It's the sinful man of an hour ago, now his head is in the, Imam Hussein is hugging his head. He is departing this world in the merciful arms of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But it reminds me of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam himself, that he had no one to hug his head. The riwayat says that when he was in the murder site, in the maqtal, وَضَعَ خَدَّهُ عَلَى التُّرَابِ. He put his face on the ground of Karbala. There was no one to console Imam Hussein, except I could hear the painful cry of his mother Fatima, who was painfully crying in Karbala, Bulayya Ya Hussein. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin, wa sa'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun ghalabin yanqalibun. A'udhu billahi minash shaytan al-rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ 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 أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ ويكشف السوء بجاه محمد وآل محمد وبحرمة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه وأنه إليه تحشرون.